From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. President Obama says he's going to follow up on a pledge to rein in soaring U.S. budget deficits, noting that will involve some very difficult choices next year. Speaking at the G20 summit in Canada, Mr. Obama says he welcomes an international commitment by rich countries to slash their deficits in half by 2013, despite his earlier warnings against halting stimulus spending too abruptly. Still, Mr. Obama says it has to be done in an orderly manner.
Rules must be clear. Oversight must be strong. Complex trades, like derivatives, must be brought into the light of day. Excessive risk-taking and abusive practices must be prevented. Consumers must be protected. In short, we have to do everything in our power to avoid a repeat of the recent financial crisis.
But the president says the U.S. can't do that alone.
After years of taking on too much debt, Americans cannot and will not borrow and buy the world's way to lasting prosperity.
Top world leaders at the summit, including Mr. Obama, also chastised North Korea over the sinking of a South Korean warship. North Korea responded by saying it must bolster its nuclear capability to cope with hostile U.S. policy. Vice President Joe Biden will visit Kentucky on Monday to see stimulus dollars in action and to campaign for a Democratic congressman. From member station WFPL in Louisville, Gabe Bullard says Biden will visit a GE facility to plug the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act.
Biden is scheduled to arrive in Louisville Monday morning. The vice president will tour General Electric's consumer and industrial headquarters, where tax credits from the federal stimulus package are supporting the manufacture of energy-efficient appliances. The credits are part of a multi-million-dollar investment GE is making in Louisville, which is expected to create hundreds of additional jobs. Biden will be joined by Congressman John Yarmuth and Governor Steve Beshear, but not State Attorney General Jack Conway, who's running against Republican Rand Paul for the U.S. Senate. Conway's spokesperson says the candidate has a prior engagement. For NPR News, I'm Gabe Bullard in Louisville.
Kyrgyzstan's interim leader announced voters have approved a landmark referendum to create a new constitution. Peter Van Dyke reports.
Rosa Otunbayeva told journalists the new constitution had been adopted. "This is an historic day," she said. She added that the vote also confirmed the legitimacy of her leadership and said she would now have the president's powers during the transition period while the new constitution is brought into effect. Otunbayeva also said she would soon form a new government and call parliamentary elections. The referendum was held amid tight security, particularly in the south where recent ethnic violence has cost hundreds of lives, but the vote passed off without major incident and the Central Election Committee put turnout at more than 65%. Soon after polls closed, however, the government reinstated a curfew in the south that had been allowed to lapse for the referendum. For NPR News, I'm Peter Van Dyke in Moscow.
This is NPR. Suspected U.S. missiles targeted a militant compound in northwestern Pakistan, killing at least three people. The area is teeming with Taliban and Al-Qaeda insurgents along the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. The longest-serving member of Congress is seriously ill. John Hingersbergen of West Virginia Public Broadcasting reports Senator Robert Byrd is in the hospital.
The 92-year-old senator was admitted to a Washington-area hospital late last week for what appeared to be heat exhaustion and severe dehydration. Byrd's office says other medical conditions have developed, and doctors are describing his condition as serious. Senator Byrd holds the record for congressional service in November, surpassing Democrat Carl Hayden of Arizona, who served for 47 years. Byrd began his career in Washington in 1952. With his election to the House of Representatives, he moved to the Senate 6 years later. This spring, the senator has taken an active part in hearings looking into the cause of the April explosion that killed 29 West Virginia coal miners. For NPR News, I'm John Hingsbergen in Charleston, West Virginia.
Alex is once again a tropical storm and may soon become a hurricane when it moves across the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Forecasters say the storm is still on track. That should keep it away from the BP oil spill and cleanup underway on the northeastern end of the Gulf. Maximum sustained winds are around 45 miles per hour, but the winds are expected to increase over the next several hours. Shell Oil Company has shut down subsea production at the Auger and Brutus platforms in the Gulf as a precaution. On Saturday, it evacuated non-essential workers from the production platforms and drilling rigs in the Gulf. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.